morning, everybody. We're coming to you live right here from inside the new. This is going to be our new technical area, Bub, that we're going to be bringing to everybody. We've talked about it a little bit, but this is where we're going to be bringing a lot of the technical stuff to you for from this point forward, Bub.
Our technical difficulty stuff.
Wow, man, had plenty of that, haven't we? Good morning, Bub. How are we doing today?
Doing good so far, man. Just I'm out actually in the paint and body shop right now. That's where I've been pretty much all day yesterday and today, just getting stuff painted, getting things caught up back there.
Yeah,
so,
man.
You know, getting some base coat, clear coat down right now. You know, just cranking forward, you know, getting stuff done.
We're a little bit late getting on today because you were laying down some coats of paint out there, Bub.
Yeah.
On the Monkey in Paradise Challenger. This episode is brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. That's Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. .com. Miss Outlaw Boutique, that's MS Outlaw Boutique at 561-660-6695. The Outlaw's Loose in Abacoa. Make sure you check out Miss Outlaw Boutique for the finest in boutique fashion apparel and accessories, Bub. Cars and Coffee of Palm Beach, the Guinness World Record holding Cars and Coffee of Palm Beach. We will be there November 18th unveiling the SEMA Bubba's Exotic Motorsports Mustang.
Man, and a lot of work to do, man. I'll tell you what, we are running out of time between now and the end of October.
Think about that today, yeah.
So it's like today's Wednesday. I really have today, tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, because I'm going to have to be doing those. And then the following 5 days, and then that is it. So I'm literally down to last minute, getting this car built, getting it ready for SEMA. So it's a lot of work to get done on top of all the client rides, you know. So it's literally like when I'm waiting for parts for the SEMA build, back in the paint shop painting stuff. I'm switching from here to here to here. I'm all over the place right now. And, you know, I'm getting these things done. So I'm just cranking through them as best as I can.
And you know what, Bub? Congratulations to you. We're running with a skeleton crew right now. We are looking for new people to join us here at Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. We have to keep it tight right now because the quality have to goes into everything. And between me being inside administratively, you being outside, from the technical perspective, we're being run and we're burning the candle literally at both ends. And I know it's exhausting for you. You're painting, you're doing working upholstery, you're doing mechanical things. It's a lot. And I'm very proud of you for hanging in there and keeping that Lloyd motto and ethic going and just pushing forward, man.
Well, I'm just getting it done. You know, it's I work best when I'm just left alone so I can grind through it. I mean, if I'm not bothered, if I'm not distracted, if I'm not disturbed, if it's not every 10 minutes somebody needs something, then I can run through it. And I can just, literally, I can get out so much stuff and... this morning alone, getting, all these parts prepped, and, typically most people take an entire day of prepping parts and stuff like that. Well, I've been able to put my nose down, close the door in the paint shop, and just literally grind through and get all these pieces ready. 3 coats of base coat already done. I've got just a couple minutes. Typically, you want to wait between, 20 minutes or so, 15 to 20 minutes, depending on temperatures, humidity, before you start shooting your clear.
Correct.
So I'm getting to that point now where, this literally the second we're done with this, I'm going to have to just eat a quick lunch, get out there and start shooting clear, or else guess what, you got to start sanding it back down again. So then it starts costing me more money. So I've got to just crank through what I'm doing and get these things done and out the door.
Keep going, Bub. Today we're going to talk a little bit, Bub, about the art of tire science and have you decode it. We've had a bunch of people write in and ask us about this. Tires and everything. Gone are the days of the G7815 tire readings. Those have been gone for many, many years, Bub. Today we're dealing with 235, 45 ZR15s, for example, or 20s and things like that. Let's talk a little bit about, Bub, as we look at this first, tell us a little bit about, what do we have here? This is your basic tire, correct?
Yeah, so this is actually off of one of the ball players we just finished yesterday. If you guys haven't seen that, check out our Instagram, our Instagram.com/ Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. You'll see that car. It turned out insane. This is the factory wheel and tire combo off of that car. Pretty good looking for a mass production setup.
Sure.
It's a 20-inch wheel. Right out of the gate, 20-inch wheel, 10 years ago, was almost unheard of. It was massive. Now it is your basic stock wheel and tire
size. And when you
say,
Bub, 20-inch, what does that tell the audience? What is 20 inches?
So 20 inches is the size of the rim. So anywhere you pick a point, I always go 12 and 6 like a clock. 12 o'clock all the way down to the bottom 6, that is 20 inches across.
So it's not wide?
No. Okay. This is probably a 9.5 inch wide. I could turn around and look at the backside. All rims are stamped on the inside of them. In today's world, they will say ET 20x9, whatever. It'll have a bunch of different specs on the inside of these wheels, so you can always check measurements.
Does ET mean anything?
Offsets. So
offsets.
You'll have your wheel size, and you'll have the offset of where the rim is actually positioned on the car in relation to the hub. Its mounting point, once you have your center hub touching down on the face of the rotor.
So the rotor hat and the back of the back of the rim, correct?
Yep.
Your ET comes from that, you're saying?
Your offset, yes, from the center line of the wheel, whether it's positive or negative, whichever way it's going, whether it's coming out to the outside of the car, going into the inside
positive
of the car.
Positive would go which way?
Positive goes in, negative goes out. pushes
it. So towards the fender well.
Yes.
Okay. So Bubba, we see tire numbers. For example, like this is a 255 35 R20. What is this telling us?
So that's actually the tire ratio size. So that's not only the height of this tire, but also the width. And there's a lot of, you know, speculation where a lot of people over the years have always thought, oh, well, it's just a quarter inch taller here, so I want to bring the sidewall down a little bit. They think you change the middle number. You don't. It doesn't work like that. Those two numbers work against each other, and you have to literally do certain ratios to try to figure out if you're going to modify one number, it's going to change the other setting. So if you're trying to come down a quarter inch here and you only change one of those digits from a 35 to a 30, that's not going to give you just this. It's also going to change the width.
Does the 35 and 30 mean half an inch?
No, not at all. That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of struggle with that out there in the automotive world where some people think you change a half a digit and it changes a whole, you know, the sidewall a certain amount. It doesn't. Every tire has a certain size, and you get a height and a width spec to that size. So if you're running, you know, a 255, 35, whatever this tire size is here, if you change that to a 245, 50, it's going to be a totally different setup. Every tire size has its overall diameter, which is, again, from what I do, 6, 12, 12 to 6. It is your distance from the highest tread point to your lowest tread point, farthest left, farthest right, whatever angle you look at it, it's the overall diameter of the tire. And then you have a width. So from your tread width here at the edge, you have two widths. You have a tread width, which is TW, from the outer edge of your tread, where it reaches the furthest. And then you also have a section width, which is your widest point in the tire. So some tires can be, you know, an 11.5 section width, but only a 9.5 tread width, you know, so it would be a difference of a half inch stretch on either side. Yeah.
So your difference is physically, Bob, going to be between, this is your tread width right in here, right? And this is your section width out here, is what you're saying.
Yep.
Correct? Very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. So, Bob, we have other numbers on these tires as well. We have date codes, for example, stamped on the car, on the tires. Tell us about those. Why are those on the tire sidewall?
So, I mean, just like anything with, you know, mass production world, it's you're going to have date codes, you're going to have speed ratings, you're going to have tire pressures, you're going to have the sizing. Everything you need to know about this tire is going to be somewhere on it, you know, whether it be stamped on the sidewall, on the inside, on the outside. A lot of tires today have an inside and an outside. Sometimes the tires are directional, so they have to roll in a certain rotation. Some tires have different sidewalls on them, literally with almost like a vinyl-y style texture for curbs,
right?
So essentially they're meant to be a protective sidewall, and then the inside one will be completely smooth. So there's certain ways to look at tires. So many different things about them, but all about the sizing, the specs, their speed ratings, and all of that information is just nothing more than going out and either researching what your vehicle requires or going to the website if you're doing like a pro touring build, an aftermarket setup, going to the website of the tire, and it will break down all those specs for you and tell you exactly what they offer.
So when we talk about speed ratings, Bub, what are we saying? I know there's an H, there's an R, there's a Z. What does that mean?
So each one of those, there's a letter corresponding to a certain speed. So some tires are, you know, meant for 118 miles an hour plus. Some tires are meant to max out at 100 miles an hour. Every one of those tires is going to have a different speed rating, and it's just nothing more than knowing what you're trying to use. A lot of guys with, you know, lifted trucks, you know, they don't really necessarily look at load ranges, for example. Load range D or E, that's depending on how much weight that tire can handle. Trucks require a lot of weight sometimes, even basic pickup trucks. By the time you start factoring in trailers, the weight you're going to be putting in the bed of it. So you have to look at doing different load range sizes. You know, and all of it makes sense, and it's just a matter of taking the time and researching what you're trying to do and then put it on the vehicle you're trying to build.
Bob, I often see yellow dots on tires, specifically on the outside of the tire. It is a small eraser-sized yellow dot. What is that yellow dot?
So that is actually the heaviest point in the tire. That's your weighted point in the tire. What you want to do, and again, all manufacturers, not all, a lot of them typically run the same theories, the same design style, the same mount and balance style. You want to line up any of those indicators, those weighted indicators, the yellow dots. Sometimes there's red, sometimes there's greens. It just depends.
Sure.
But you want to typically line up that yellow dot with your valve stem. That's going to be where it's a drilled portion of the wheel. It's going to be a lighter spot. So you're going to have an imbalance in the wheel where the valve stem was, and you're going to put the heavier part of the tire where that valve stem is. So you're going to line up, for example, that yellow dot would be directly here above this valve stem next to it. A lot of people think it's across. It's not.
I thought it was directly across from
it. It's not. It's with it because you're drilling from the wheel here. They mark where the heaviest spot of the tire is. So if you're going to have a heavy spot here, you want to put that heavy spot in the lightest spot of the rim, which is going to be where it was drilled, which has a hole now. It's missing a big chunk of aluminum, cast, steel. It's missing weight right there
from
where that valve stem was. So then you put the heavy spot there, and it gives you the best possible balance you're going to come up with.
Which allows less weight for a couple things. You can think about it. There's less weight on the tire, less usage of wheel weights on the tire, right?
Yep.
Which means less of a chance for the adhesive weights to fly off. They don't often, but it means less chance for that. It means less lead on the side of the roads and in our recycling yards, Bub.
Yep.
So by being able to read that yellow dot and mounting it that position, it gives you the opportunity to do it right and have an impact ecologically all the way across.
Yeah, it's you just got to take the time. Like anything that we build, it's we discussed it on the audio systems, a couple days ago, doing the one-off audio system we did in the Audi for the ball player. All types of every aspect of this industry, you just have to build it looking into your overall build.
Sure.
You can't just take a set of tires and stick them on because they fit. You need to make sure that they operate, that they do exactly what you're wanting them to do. Your tire pressure set right, your weight capacity can handle what the car is, in terms of the car's weight versus the vehicle, the people that are going to be inside of that car, the way it's going to be running, whether it's going to be a street-driven car, track-driven car. All kinds of things have to come into play when you're working with tires, and you just have to make sure that you do it right.
You know, Bub, one of the big advents that changed tire technology was moving from a glass-belted tire to a steel-belted radial.
Mm-hmm.
We know that their load range is better. We know that their ability to displace water is better.
Yep.
We know that the longevity is better. In fact, today, manufacturers are coming, are delivering their vehicles with no spare tire because they're running on a run-flat tire.
Yeah.
But when you look at some of the truck applications, can you explain to us a little bit about those still are running a glass-belted tire?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Some of the LT trucks, LT being light truck tires, are glass-belted. Why stick with that old technology that doesn't give you the radial drive and use a glass belted tire like a 10 ply glass belted tire versus a steel belted radial?
Well, there's many options out there. It's all about, again, what that vehicle's preference is, what is suggested to be on there for not only the driving style but also for the weight capacity, the load of what it's doing in terms of trucks. Especially, you have to be able to take into consideration what your load is going to be, because that's where there's a lot of tire blowouts. Either tire pressures aren't set right, or you have tires on there that are too weak for the load that they're handling, mm-hmm. So they generate more heat, essentially when it takes, a small bump in the road, small potholes, that's enough to make the sidewall then blow out.
Right
on.
So
you just have to make sure that you're using the right components for whatever vehicle you're trying to build. You can't just go to Costco and buy the cheapest three tires and get the fourth free because it fits your budget. You got to make sure it's safe and that it fits what you're trying to build.
So the 10-ply glass-belted tires are more for a light truck tire that's carrying a load, you're saying?
Yeah, big time. It's going to be a stiffer tire. Anytime you get into those 8-ply, 10-ply tires, again, those are a load range D, load range E. It just depends on what you're building. You wouldn't want to go and put a load range E on a Ford Ranger or a Chevrolet S10.
Yep.
It's way too heavy duty of a tire and going to be way too stiff and harsh for a ride on something that'll never use.
You'll never use that. Yeah.
Absolutely. So you're just wasting your time and your money, and you're creating a very rough ride.
So stay with what works, Bub.
Stay with what works.
Nitto Grapplers, for example, the G2s.
Yep.
Very smooth ride.
Yeah.
Desert Dueler.
Yep.
All of those, Bub.
Yeah.
Any of those will work.
A lot of good tires out there. It's all about your personal preference. Tires in today's world are just like everything else. There are low end crap, there are medium grade, and there are super high end. Mm-hmm. It just all depends on where you want to go with it. And if you buy a low end tire, you're going to get a low end result.
That's what you'll get.
If you buy a medium grade, you're going to get the same. If you buy a high end, you're going to notice a high end tire. You put on a high end. Typically, what we do, especially when we do a lot of our lifted Jeeps and trucks here, we do very high end Nitto Ridge Grapplers, which is a very aggressive off road looking tread pattern. Offers everything you can imagine in terms of the way it functions off-road, the sidewall texture to it, the way it's got grip to it, but it also has the smoothness of a standard traditional highway tire, so you can get this thing out and drive it down the road with no pulling, no shimmying or shaking or groaning. So there's so many different options out there,
So just contact, anybody can contact us here at 561-748-2926 here, and we will answer those tire questions, and we hope this has kind of unraveled some of the mystery behind it. There's a whole art and science, and you've spent years learning it all, Bub.
Yeah, if you want it right, man, there is definitely always an art and science. Don't just guess and pick up any tire just because it fits your rim.
Yeah.
There's so many different things out there. Too many people screw that up, and you end up paying for it twice in the long run if you do it wrong.
And by the way, buy cheap tires, you get cheap results.
You're going to. You're going to be lucky if you get 8,000 miles out of them. Some tires out there now are rated for that 50, 60,000 mile mark if they're done exactly the way they should be, set for the weight of the vehicle, not overloaded, the tire pressures are always set right, you're always rotating and balancing them properly, you can literally get upwards of 50, 60,000 miles on some of these tires.
Interesting.
Full warranties on them up to that.
Interesting.
Pretty heavy.
That's where it's been brought. Soon it'll be 100,000 miles.
Yeah.
Just like the cars of yesteryear, 50,000 was your max you get out of them, now you're getting 300,000 of them.
Yep.
Technology is bringing us a long way, Bub.
Yep.
Thank you for demystifying it, Bub.
Yep, that's it.
Till tomorrow.
Keep on doing it, Bubba style.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to let Bub get right back out there in the paint
booth. Out to the paint shop.
And get it done. This episode has been brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. That's bubbasexoticmotorsports.com. Cars and Coffee of Palm Beach, the Guinness World Record holding largest cars and coffee in the world. Come join us and see the Bubba's Exotic Motorsports SEMA Mustang unveiled to the public and the press on November 18th. By the way, big shout out to the guys up there in Orange County. Paul Sr. and his crew up there have just signed a new deal with Discovery, and we'll see Sr. here anytime soon in November. We assume he's going to be with us at the Cars and Coffee event as well to see the unveil. And finally, Miss Outlaw Boutique. That's MS Outlaw Boutique for the finest in boutique apparel and fashions. Ladies and gentlemen, the ladies' man, Diesel, was not with us today. He had a veterinary appointment. He's got to have his nails trimmed, and he's getting ready to go through some surgery on his gum line because bullies have masses that grow over their canine teeth. So he wasn't here today. Did his pre-op blood work today. He'll be in on Friday, and then he'll be out on the 19th for his surgery. But he wanted us to say hello to all of his fans out there. Until tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, let's make sure we reach out to touch somebody's life in a very positive manner. Hold the door for somebody who needs the door open. Their hands are full. If somebody's got holes in their shoes, buy them a pair of shoes. Payless is cheap. And if they're hungry, McDonald's, 7-Eleven. It's not that hard to do, and it's not cheap. It's very cheap, and it makes your heart feel good. Till tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, let's keep on doing it, Bubba style.